Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Happy 2019. What a year. 18 in the books. And this will be the first show we've done this year, isn't it? Yeah. Because we did the, that's right, because we did the Bill Fleckenstein interview. And if you guys didn't hear that, see, I'm already jumping all over the place. Nothing's going to change. New year, same voice, same most scintillating hour of finance radio. But we closed out the year really strong, I thought anyway. I guess you guys are the ultimate judge. But if you didn't hear the interview we had with Bill Fleckenstein, I would encourage you to go to My Northwest or Bulwark's website. I believe we've got it up there as well, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, knowyourriskradio.com. Go listen to Bill Fleckenstein. And for those of you guys that don't know, Bill has been one of the guys that I wanted to interview since we started doing the radio show. And here's why. Bill's a big name in the financial industry, got a long, really good track record, managed money for some big people. And like I said, he's got a track record, but he's not a celebrity money manager. And what I mean by that is you're not going to see him on TV all the time or on the radio all the time because he's a practitioner. He's really about the work. It's not about the media. Not only that, but he just has an incredibly prescient insight and great track record, great experience, and a great record as far as it, you know, comes to making big calls. And so anyway, I think it's nice, you know, as I've said before on the show, we want to educate. You know, we want to give you the information that you're not getting anywhere else, certainly not on TV. Not on finance news, not on CNBC. And the other reason we do it is credibility. I think many of you have gotten to know us as we've done the show. Certainly many of you have become clients. But at the same time, you know, we want to bring in people to show you that we're not just, you know, making stuff up, that we're not just talking out of turn, that this isn't snake oil. Now, I mean, hopefully realizing that Dory Monson's a client of ours and, you know, endorses the firm, and Dory's got a great name in this town. You know, I hope that's not an issue. But again, credibility, right? Remember the promise we made several times. If we don't know, we'll tell you. But if we talk about something, we're going to give you the facts. Doesn't mean we won't be wrong. Not at all. Matter of fact, one of our favorite, it wasn't our biggest stock pick, but one of our favorite stock picks for 2018 really underperformed. I can't say what it is because I don't want to be considered a recommendation. Company did great. Did exactly what we thought it would do. It's just a older company, manufacturing company, and no one's interested, right? It's just, if it's not tech, I think that opinion's changed a little bit because of what's happened in the last month. But anyway, you know, that's the thing. If you're listening to somebody in this industry that always gets it right, run the other way because it just doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, and there've been numerous studies on this. But if we look at some of the best investors, the hit rate with the best guys is like 65%. And that's not that big. I mean, that's 35% of the time they're wrong. And that's just the reality of the game. So anyway, like I said, go to it. Now, the other thing I wanted to... Today is an interesting day. Today is a cool day. I'm sitting here in the studio. And I'm looking through the window of the studio, and I'm sitting next to Todd Herman doing the Rush Limbaugh Show. As you guys know, we record on Fridays. That's pretty neat. What a big... I was laughing because he announced his Twitter following on air on the Rush Limbaugh Show, and he gained something like 700 followers in the space of like 10 minutes. It was the power of the golden microphone, right? Anyway, Todd's a great guy, and his buddy become a friend of mine, just great to hear him on Rush's show doing his thing. Anyway, without further ado, we've got some things to discuss, right? Holy smokes. 2019 is not letting us down so far, right? You know, prepping for the show today was probably one of the toughest shows we've prepped for in quite a long time. And it was simply because I didn't even know where to start. I didn't even know where to start. So we're going to do the market update. I'm not leaving that out. Then we're going to talk a little bit more about China, some updates we've got on China and what's going on in the global financial community, because look, upside, downside, globalism, it is a thing, whether you like it or not. And the world is more economically connected than at any other time in human history. And we got to know what's going on around the world, specifically in countries like China that represents the world's second largest economy. So I want to do a little update on that and then want to talk about relative performance. And I don't want to talk about it in such a way to let myself off the hook. Look, as money managers, what we're judged against over time is the market. Meaning if you didn't pay a fee and you just own the S&P 500, how would your performance stack up, right? And that matters over long periods of time. It means nothing over short periods of time. I'm not saying that because we had a bad 2018. We actually held up better than the markets did for a couple of our clients. I got a couple calls from clients where they go, Zach, I'm down a little bit more than more. Now, this was before the recent sell-off. We held up much better because of our hedging and things of that nature. We still got hit a little bit here at the end of the year. But they called and said, Zach, I'm down more than you said it was on the radio. And they, one of the tough things about active management is it depends on when they became a client, right? Depends on what part of the year. Because we had a lot of our outperformance in the first 6 months of the year and kind of trailed off toward the end. But anyway, this is not what I want to talk about. I'm getting derailed. So you bring up performance and guys that manage money, their heads start spinning. What I want to talk about is when we're this late into an economic cycle, relative performance needs to go out the window, at least over the short period. Okay, because if we have a recession, if we have a big market drop, which, look, I don't think this is over. Not by any stretch of the imagination. I'm getting ahead of myself already. We're going to talk about this later in the show. But relative performance needs to go out the window. All right, because relative performance won't mean a lot if you got a 40, 50, 60, God forbid, 70% stock market drop. It's not a prediction I'm making. But if the market's down 50% and you're down 49, it's not like you're going to be running around, well, we beat the market. That's a life-altering loss. Now, one of the other things we want to visit is we've got to talk about bonds, and we've got to talk about the dirtiest word in investing again. Now, you guys know by now what the dirtiest word in investing is, right? It's annuity. And like we've said a million times on the show before, there's a lot of bad annuities out there, a lot of bad products, but there's some really good ones. And this last year is a perfect, and we're going to get into this, but this last year is a perfect indication. Because one of the ways that we look at annuities is also through relative performance, right? If our money's in the annuity, what are we missing out on? Now, again, remember, it's the right kind of annuity. So don't just change the channel. Be open to something. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. All right? Annuities, especially the kind that we use, they're here to stay. We just had a partner of ours that a big financial firm, as a matter of fact, the largest private equity firm in the country, just bought a substantial stake in an annuity distribution company for the tune of like $250, $300 million. Now, why would they do that? They do it because it is going to be a fixture in portfolios. We've been talking about this for 7 years. Why? Because interest rates have made generational lows and bonds will not provide the type of income and security that they have over the past 50 years. It's not an opinion. It's not a market call. It's just math. And this last year is a perfect example. Some of our annuities were up a little bit. Some made nothing. But remember, the kind we use don't have fees. So the client wasn't up, but they weren't down, right? While stocks finished down 6% and bonds finished down somewhere between 3 and 5. While paying a fee. And not to mention the fact that bonds are now a net negative for the past 4.5 years. And then, now, look, I'm not an old guy, but I've been around this game for a lot longer than most guys my age. Just because I was raised in the industry and it's all I've ever done. Now we're starting, I got an email from a client that we're actually going to forward around to some of our clients, or we're going to include in the next newsletter, which was a pretty famous, pretty well-known money manager. And I'm forgetting, was it Steve Seville or anyway, put out a thing saying, hey, you, the part of your portfolio you need to pay attention to are the bonds. And it's a fool's game. Interest rates only have one way to go. And if they go down, there's just not much room left. There's no juice left in that move, right? Bonds make money when interest rates go down. And he said, you know, he's, hey, the alert is bonds, specifically high yields and corporates, because the record amount of debt on corporate balance sheets. Now, we've been talking about this game for 6 or 7 years. Why do we focus so much on that? I want to kind of give you insight into the way that we think so you understand it. So you understand we're not just pushing a product. The reason we focus on it is because your money is agnostic. It does not care how it gets made. If we can make more money paying less fees, taking less risk, then the answer to that proposition is an emphatic yes all the time. And the other thing it does, especially if you're coming from 50-50 stock bonds or 60-40 stock bonds or 70-30 stock bonds, it allows us to take less risk, lower your fees, while still increasing your upside. We're not making that all or nothing decision to be in the market or out of the market. Right? You're not giving anything up. And as a matter of fact, you're getting more secure. So I'm already going off the line. We're going to revisit that a little bit later. The other thing we want to talk about is reality. Now, especially in an environment where we got the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes running around doing their rooftop dancing. Darren, did you see that? We elected her to Congress. Isn't that something? It's just amazing to me. I was sitting there watching that thinking, you know, my 6-year-old's just learning how to read. And he's really committed to it. He got out of bed this morning with 2 Dr. Seuss books in his hands. That's how he came downstairs. He's all about reading. And I sat there and looked at him. I thought, you know what, buddy? Maybe we ought to have you run for Congress. You know what I mean? This is the ludicrous part. I mean, it's just, I've gone off on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the past. I can't do it. I got to keep my eyes on productive, positive things here. But anyway, we want to talk about reality and where we're at. Okay, so let's get on to the market update. Obviously, a lot of stuff's happened. Oh, and then we're also going to have a recap of the year. Kind of give you the good parts of the year, of the calls that we made, the bad ones. And again, just putting it all out there. We're not going to be right all the time. But that's the beautiful thing about adhering to a risk management model like we do. Which is, even when you're not right, you're not getting hurt. And you're still doing better than the alternative. So anyway, market update. Whew. Boy, crazy year. Crazy end of the year as well. Gotta tell you, I'm a little bit fatigued. It's been kind of like fighting a battle here. You know, a lot of you are going to see the print from today, Friday. So you're going to see it on Saturday. Or at the end of the day, tonight, Friday evening. And we're bouncing back. We've had some big days. Look, like I've told you many times before, I don't have a crystal ball. Nobody does. This combined with the day after Christmas move here, we could be looking at, you know, a snapback rally. These things tend to happen. But there's some really concerning things in here. A, we've got really light volume on these moves, which means there's not a lot of conviction. The other part of it that really troubles me with these gigantic moves is the volatility is all to the upside, meaning that the biggest moves we're seeing, it's sort of the inverse of what we saw in January and February of 2018. Remember those down days where the Dow was down 1,200 points or 1,100 points? All of our big magnitude moves, our biggest number moves, yesterday the Dow was down 600 points, today we're up almost 800. So far, we got an hour and 20 minutes left in the trading day. But our big volatility moves are to the upside. Believe it or not, historically, that's a really bad sign. We did some research on this. When we looked at, several of this stuff, guys, so bear with me, I could be wrong. But when we looked at these moves, the day after Christmas, I believe the NASDAQ was up almost 7%, 6 and change. Dow was up 5 and change. S&P was up over 5, I believe. We looked at other moves like that. And first of all, up days like that are extremely rare. The other thing we saw was that it was either 7 or 8 out of the 10 biggest moves. Now, those were, I believe those moves, including today's not quite there yet. But that big up day, the day after Christmas, it wasn't in the top 10. It was in the top 20. But we started looking at it, and something like 70%. Or I think it was 15 out of the top 20 moves like that have happened during bear markets, typically at the beginning. And what we call that is kind of a paradigm switch, right? Because we all know the adage, or we should, that stock markets take escalators up and elevators down. They drop much quicker. It's just the way it works. In bear markets, that flips around, right? Because the general trajectory of the market is lower. And so the surprises, the shocks are to the upside. And it was something like 70 to 75% of those biggest up days have occurred at the beginning or in the heart of bear markets. As a matter of fact, the four biggest up days in history in the markets happened during the height of the Great Depression. So it's not just a up day is a bad thing. It's not. What we want to look at is what's going on with the trends. Where is the volatility? Where is it the greatest? Which days are showing the greatest magnitude moves? And there's no question. We've had some ugly down days, but our biggest magnitude moves have been to the upside. And contrary to what common sense would tell you, it's not a good sign. Now, again, we don't market time. We don't know what's going to happen in the markets. We had some really good calls and some really good information in 2018 that I think we nailed, but nobody knows which direction the markets are going. Right? We can see things starting to unravel. And, you know, a lot of us, we've gotten a lot of attention, a lot of clients and a lot of people that have called in and ask for information, ask a lot of questions about the tech call because they heard the show or maybe they listened to the podcast or whatever. See, 4 or 5 months ago, when we were talking about the tech, how'd you guys know? Look, when companies that are trading at 200 PEs or 250 PEs and are at 10, 12, 14, 17, 18, 19, 20 times revenue, when they get hit consistently, they're going down. right? And that's especially a problem when those types of companies are the ones leading markets. So for us to get cautious there, it's just being observant. It's just, you know, knowing your stuff. Time in the saddle. And I mean, there's just nothing else to it. And if you don't have that kind of information, you're going to need it, especially as it relates to your investments. Because let me just remind you, it's easy for people to forget. And we're not all gloom and doom. You guys know this. And I never want to be. Stocks are the greatest generator of wealth in human history. But they can also be an absolute destroyer of it, if not deployed correctly, and if the risk isn't properly managed. And so we've got to manage that risk. We got to know that there are times, and think about it, it makes sense, right? There are times to have your foot more on the accelerator, and there are times to have your foot more on the brake. It's just the way things work. And if you don't believe me, just go look at market returns over the last 20 years. Now, getting back to what's going on in the markets, the other really interesting thing I'm looking at right now is oil. Oil has just gotten hammered. We always do an update on that. We didn't really have a much of an opinion on that one, but I will say that down move in oil even surprised me. And one of the questions I think people have is why? What's going on? And I think there's a couple things going on. Look, again, you're probably not going to hear it much on the news, but China's slowing. China's showing some real signs of stress. They really are. And I want to, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in the China debt segment, which we'll do coming up next. But why is this important? When people tell you, oh, don't worry about it, they've always told us the rest of the world. Look, the game has changed. China has made up a disproportionate demand for world commodities. They've provided a disproportionate amount, something like 60% of the world's growth has come from China over the last 10 years. If China gets a cold, or if China coughs, we all get a cold, guys. Just, it's the way it is. And we're seeing China consumer demand drop. You see Apple come out, release battery. I mean, I don't think it was as big of a disaster as everybody else thought it was. But what did they cite as the number one reason? Slow down in China. Slow down in consumer purchases. And, you know, I think they're a pretty good indicator. So anyway, you know, other than that, just massive volatility. But like I said, guy, look, market could go back up. But this ain't over. Massive technical damage has been done. Some of the biggest leaders in the market have been deeply damaged here. This is not a time to, not just happy times are here again. And the other thing we want to talk about is why the market rallied so much. We're going to talk about that coming up next. Why were we up so big? And then we're going to transition that during the same segment, talk about the Chinese debt scenario and the situation, how it relates to us. So stick with us. And if you're just joining us and you're realizing you're watching your portfolio get hammered last year, you're watching your bonds lose money with stocks, and they're going, wait a second, my guy told me this couldn't happen. You realize you need a different approach. You realize you need more risk management. Or maybe you don't even know what risk management is. Maybe you just need to know what it is. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to knowyourriskradio.com, Bulwark Capital's website. You can download our podcast. You can download our white paper by Roger Ibbotson talking about using our bond replacement strategy and how you need to be careful of bonds as well as stocks. You can sign up for the free newsletter. All that good stuff. You guys know the drill again, but give us a call. And if you don't want to talk to us, if you just want to do correspondence over email, there's no gimmicks, no catches. We'll just tell you exactly over email. Look, and I'll even email with you. Look, this is show me your performance. Okay, here's where you're at. This is how we'd have you positioned. That's how it's performed over the last 10 years. Here is exactly how we can improve your upside, drastically lower your risk, and drastically reduce your fees. It's just a better mousetrap. And if you don't listen to this approach now, you'll be getting it pitched to you by your current guy years down the road because of the damage you've taken. So be proactive and give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Anyway, we got to run. Stick with us. We'll be right back talking about Chinese debt as well as why markets were up so big on Friday. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, these new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. But most importantly, it's about having a plan. All your children have to do is carry out your wishes, and you're not a burden on them. That's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's asset-based class is coming up Monday, January 28th in Bellevue. This class is aimed at individuals and couples who have accumulated close to or more than $1 million in assets and may be considering to self-fund long-term care costs in the future. Learn why that's not the best idea. Seating will be limited for this special asset-based class, January 28th in Bellevue. Reserve your spot right now, 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And for those of you that are just joining us, we are just going over the market recap, market update, talking about what's going on, and wanted to talk about. Now, we're going to talk about the Chinese debt situation because, look, these things are really hard to gauge, right? Timing on these things is nearly impossible because no matter how much we research and how much we look at it, nobody knows all the factors. Nobody can predict what politicians are going to do. Nobody can predict what central banks are going to do, much to my chagrin. Doesn't mean that we don't try. Doesn't mean that we're not looking as stewards of our clients' money. And as, you know, competitive people as well. I didn't get into this industry just to, you know, park people in bonds. You know what I mean? There's plenty of impetus to want to generate good returns and want to know what's going on, try to be out ahead of the pack. But you just don't know. But having said that, when we look at China, and we've spent a lot of time talking about this, there's just massive problems. And I... There's a swath of people out there, and if you're a guy like me and you're in the China bear camp, which I very much am, there's company, there's people out there that agree, but most people sit there and go, oh man, China's got it together. They're organized. They're doing socialism right. They're mixing it perfectly with capitalism, and their central planning's working, and they're managing the economy, and They're kicking tail and taking names, all that. I mean, come on. Yes, because now man has figured it all out. We've cracked the code of economics. We know how to engineer prosperity. Heard it all before. And if it worked, listen, if it worked, we'd all be speaking Russian. I mean, that's just the facts. Now, why do so many people buy it? I don't know. Why do so many people buy the idea that that real estate could go up by 8% a year? I've never really understood why people buy it. Why do people think Tesla is a solid company? And look, when I say these things, I realize I'm putting myself out there. Could I be wrong on Tesla? Yes. Be wrong on anything. Now, what I will say is if situations like Tesla and China work out, it will fundamentally change the entire way the world of economics works. And it will be complete game changers. Rule changers. And I don't want to get lost in the shuffle here. And I do, and I definitely want to revisit and deal with the Chinese situation. Before we do that, though, we got to get into what made the market go up on Friday. Well, what made the market go up on Friday? Number one headline you're going to see is the big jobs number. I believe it was 312,000 new jobs created in the month of December. Okay? That's a big number. That's really good. And like we told you all along, I'm not with these guys that think the economy's garbage. It's just not. The reality isn't there. Is there signs of slowing? Yeah. And they're concerning signs. But one of the least reliable indicators in economics in general over short periods of time is job growth. Because there's all kinds of noise in those numbers. There's all kinds of different ways that companies report that information. Is it, you know, we've got seasonal adjustments. Which way was the seasonal adjustment made? I could spend an entire show talking about the way that data is compiled. Okay, but we're not going to do that. Because first of all, it would be boring to you. Second of all, it bores me to tears, and I do this for a living. So, but the number one reason, like I said, were those 312,000 jobs. Now, what we do when we see a report like that, look, if the U.S. economy is accelerating, you guys know that I'm agnostic. I'm an American guy. Of course, I want to see us do well. But as a steward of our clients' money, I can't rely on anecdotal things like seasonally adjusted job numbers. We got to dig underneath the surface and see what's really there. And when we looked at those job numbers, what we see is a disproportionate amount of them, a vast majority, were in the 18 to 19 year old category. And a lot of them were focused in places that would typically hire holiday seasonal type employees. Is it a bad jobs number? No, not at all. Was it an unbelievable jobs number? No. It was better than the last one we had. But remember, I believe, and I could have my timeline a little bit off here, but I believe the peak number of jobs that we added before the great financial crisis was right at the end of 2006. It may have actually been in December as well. Because remember, trees don't grow to the sky, right? And contrary to what we believe as investors, we want to buy things when things look really bad and we want to sell them when they look incredible. Because as adults, hopefully, as reason-based individuals, we understand that things will not go from good to perfect. At least they never have. And when I see something that's got 100% chance of not playing out as it relates to historical performance, you know, call me crazy, but I'm going to roll with it, right? 100% is a pretty compelling percentage. And so now, in addition to that, the Fed comes out and makes this statement. Now, look, here's the confounding place of where we're at in economics right now, okay? I think the markets have shocked Powell and the rest of the Fed, the way that they've responded. And so the non-farm or the non-farm job rolls come out today, or job reports come out today, first thing in the morning, and they're supposedly blowout, gives the market a pop. Now, behind that, Powell gets rolled out there with Bernanke and Yellen and sits there and says, look, we're going to monitor the economy carefully and we could pull back on rate hikes. And I just sat there and scratched my head, and the market took off from there, and I sat, wait a second. So what you're saying is you believe the job numbers, you actually think things are getting better, but you're going to get less aggressive now on the rate hike cycle, right? Or the rate hike cycle. And if that confuses you, it confused me, because it's talking out of, look, are those job numbers as blowout as everybody's putting them out there to be? And if they are, why are you now talking about pulling back on rate hikes? And I bring this up. I actually like Powell. I'm not dogging on Powell. I bring this up because I want you to pay attention to, and I want you to understand how important rising asset prices have become in our economy, and for that matter, the economy around the world, because that is the way that central bank run economies work. That's the way that they maintain social stability. That is supposedly their value add. That's the concession that we make as investors and consumers to letting these people have dictatorial control over the flow of fiat currency and the creation of fiat currency. We'll put up with their dictatorial control over the supply of currency if they can give us a good outcome. Can you make my 401k go up in value? Now, what gets lost in all of this is, where should markets be? What is the real price of assets? And to that, we don't know. And we've spent a lot of time talking about that on the show. If the way that you move economies and the way that you quote unquote manage an economy is by manipulating interest rates, then automatically we have no idea what the real value of assets is. And for those of you just joining us, this is Know Your Risk Radio. And we are explaining what was the big reason for this big, huge jump up on Friday. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. We benefited from it. I'm not one of these guys that's crying in my suit because I'm short the market and I got blown out. We actually bought up some cheap value stuff in the last week. So things look pretty good for us right now. I'm just telling you, this ain't normal, guys. And it's not good. And that doesn't mean that the markets couldn't rally and set an all-time high right now or over the next 16 months. What I'm telling you, though, is that this action we have seen over the last month with today fitting right into that narrative, I don't like it. This is not what things look like in mid-cycle. This is not what things look like as the Dow is ready to run another 40%. Could it? Absolutely. Could be an extended cycle. As a matter of fact, there's part of me and Brent Johnson, the CEO of the Santiago Gold Fund, who I've had on the show a couple times, we've talked about this on the air and off the air, saying that, you know, could it go another 30, 40, 50% higher? It could. And there's a part of it that would make sense, meaning that we've seen fiat currencies debase like at no other time in human history. We've seen records amounts of capital made via the printing press and shoved into the economy. And on that side of things, it makes sense that we'd see the most obscene valuations, right? It makes sense. Now, I don't think that's the way it's going to play out. Well, if you're going to ask me, Zach, how do you think it's going to play out? I think that probably for the first 2 to 4 months of this year, we're going to see a lot of noise. You're going to see more sharp down days. You're going to see more days like Friday where the market goes nuts. But what I think this is all leading to, and the action here at the end of 2018 showed it, I think that as interest rates rise, as reality gets introduced back into the economy and a hurdle rate for investment gets put back in place. And what I mean by that is, remember, the whole idea of investing, I will not commit my capital to an investment if I think that there's a high probability that I can sit in cash or in bonds or whatever and take zero risk and still do as good or close to, or if not better than, this other investment. Well, when interest rates are zero, everything looks good. Let's go out and buy Netflix at a 200 PE. Let's go buy NVIDIA at, what was it, 17 times revenue or something like that. 18 times. Why? There's no hurdle rate. You got to chase the performance. But as these rates get introduced back in the economy, think of it as the reintroduction of reality. And debt costs go up, debt servicing costs go up, which impact bottom lines, which gives companies less flexibility to take on debt and purchase back their own stock. There's all these issues that start coming into play. So what I think most likely is to happen, Or a scenario that I can envision, is I think things around the world are getting decidedly worse. I think that will be delayed. It will show up last here. Why? Because American assets and the U.S. dollar, for lack of a, like it or not, it's still the currency or the asset of last resort. And I think capital will flow here longer than it's flowed anywhere else. But what I think will change, and I said, we're starting to see that turnover, is that the hunt for real cash producing, cash flowing, profitable assets, I believe, is starting back. We're coming back. We saw better performance in value stocks in 2018. And I think you're going to continue to see these high flyers get slaughtered. Now, you'll see sharp rip-off-your-face type rallies, like Netflix is up 9.3% today or something like that. But go back and look at the height in 2007. You had the, or excuse me, 2000, in the tech bubble. You had those tech companies get obliterated and then do these just rip-your-face-off rallies. And I mean, oh, they're back, pile back in, and then boom, back down they went. And that's what I'm telling you. These up days, don't get excited. Hey, maybe it is. And if it is, the way we position our clients' portfolios with the annuities that go up with the market, but don't lose when the market goes down, and our stock portfolios and your real estate values, if we're wrong and we're, this is great. And on that aspect, I hope I am wrong. Because I'll make more money. My clients will make more money. We'll all make more money. The point is, though, is that if I'm right, if these storm clouds we see gathering really are the real deal, then we're protected. And we're way less exposed to risk. And we're paying way less in fees. And we've got guarantees that we can't lose, at least on the annuity portion of the portfolio. Which, remember, we're not an annuity shop, contrary to what people talk about out there. We use it as a supplement to your bond portfolio. Or a replacement in most situations, because bonds are just dead money. And they're killing your performance, and they're costing you money. Now, anyway, moving over to the China side of it, a report came out. Why do I think China's in trouble? Look at the, listen to these numbers. This is really remarkable. In 2018, Chinese non-financial debt, so that is debt that's not owned by the banks. Now, I think it's interesting to point that out because Chinese banks are multiples more levered than ours were going into the Great Recession in a smaller economy. We've talked about that before, so I don't want to get off track. But so non-financial debt, this is looking at like car loans, you know, house loans, consumer debt, things of that nature, just judging a true economy, right? Debt servicing costs for non-financial debt in 2018 were $3 trillion in China, or 22% of GDP. Think about that. That means one-fifth, almost one-quarter of their entire economic production was needed just to service outstanding debt. If you think that is the way to prosperity, I've got a bridge to sell you. This will blow up. And I think we're a lot closer to it blowing up than people think. And when it does, trust me, the United States is not going to coast on through that. It will be a global economic event because everybody's exposed. Everybody is exposed. If you look at, go look at Starbucks. Look, even Costco, one of my favorite companies that we've owned on a perennial basis. All of these countries' growth stories and all of their plans for growth are almost solely leaning on China, on expansion into China. Heck, that's even the latest story that Elon Musk is trying to spin about Tesla. We're going to launch Model 3 sales in China. So China continue. Look, I think it's also important to point out that the Chinese stock market had its worst year in 10 years. And it's lost basically 50% over the last 2 years, 3 years, since 2015, 2016. Growth is slowing there by every single metric. It's just going to be one of the biggest things we think to watch in 2019. Now, the other thing, we got to get going here. But if this interests you, or if you're sitting there going, I'm not having these talks with my financial guy, or my portfolio isn't prepared to deal with a Chinese blow up or a recession here in the United States, which, let me just tell you, David Rosenberg, who in my opinion, look, economists, there's a ton of economists out there. David Rosenberg called the 2007 recession. He has been one of the guys that's been dead on. He frustrated me a lot because in 2011, I thought for sure we were going to go down into another recession. He was one of the guys out there driving me nuts saying, nope, we don't see it. He's come out and he's gone decidedly bearish in the second half of 2018. He came out and said, look, 2019, you're going to see a recession. If not in the middle of the year, by the end of it, and it's probably going to be ugly due to the record amount of debt and leverage that we've got in the economy. And that's the other thing, guys. Record debt and leverage. What are bonds? Bonds are debt. Got to keep an eye on that. And again, if you're not having these conversations, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. And look at your portfolio. And sit there and say, are there other options? Zach, is there really something that will give me 50, 60% of the upside of the stock market while not charging me a fee and guaranteeing me against loss? Factually, yes. And if you don't believe me, that's why we got the white paper up on our website by Roger Ibbotson. Right, famed economist, Yale professor, credible guy. This is actually the topic that Dory and I connected on. Because he sat there and goes, you know, I've heard about these things. Are they legit or are they smokescreens? And we spent hours at his house going over this stuff and explaining to him, yes, there's bad ones out there, but if we focus on the ones that don't cap your upside, that don't charge you a fee, they're a beautiful bond replacement. Because on average, they're making 2.5 to 3 times more than bonds. We're not being charged a fee. And if everything falls apart, they're guaranteed against loss. They actually will be the only financial asset you own that's guaranteed against loss. And why is that so important? A, during any type of economic downturn or disaster, we can still fund your retirement. But B, it guarantees us if and when, and I say when, guys, because recessions happen. We're going to have another recession, and it's probably going to be really bad. Just because of the length of time we've gone now without a recession and the amount of bad debt that's been stacked up and the Chinese issues and the European issues and all this other stuff. And the other thing the annuity does is it guarantees that we've got a pile of money there to deploy to buy these assets when they've gotten trounced, when they're down 60, 70, 80%. It's like J.P. Morgan said, you know, we buy when there's blood in the streets. The key part of that, though, is you got to have capital. And if your bond portfolio is your strategy, go look at how that's done over the last 4.5 years. I guarantee you've lost money. If not, I haven't seen an example yet of a bond portfolio not losing money over the last 4 years. But if it did, I guarantee you didn't outperform cash. And think about it. You're paying somebody 1 to 1.5% to manage a portfolio that's been a net negative over the last four. In a rising interest rate environment that's going to continue to bleed. Anyway, if that interests you, give us a call. You can go to the website, call us, 866-779-RISK. You can talk to me directly. We can set up a phone consultation. I've got 5 or 6 of them planned for this week. We can do it over email if you don't want to get, you know, wrangled into a sales process and twisting your arm and we don't do that. It's very simple. Dory wouldn't work with us if we did it any other way. We'd just sit there, look. Here's what you're doing. Here's what it costs. Here's what it's made. And here's how we do it differently. And here's how it's performed. Boom. There you go. It's pretty simple. So anyway, we got to get running. As always, I've run over. So we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back, sitting here in the break, looking at markets, and just saw this headline. Monster rallies are often synonymous with bear markets. Investor Peter Bookford warns. Who Peter Bookford is, very accomplished guy, very serious guy in the industry. But see, you know, we're not making this stuff up. We're not trying to scare people. We're not trying to freak people out. Just trying to give you the information just so you're well armed. Now, what we wanted to talk about here in this closing segment, the end of the most scintillating hour in finance radio, is price. And that's actually the name of the segment, price. Because at the end of the day, as investors, what we're trying to do is we're trying to look at assets and determine whether or not the stream of income from that asset is going to justify owning that asset over a period of time. Will that stream of income be better than risk-free assets? And here's one of the biggest things that I don't think anybody's talking about. People are talking about the way the market is getting hurt by interest rates and what could happen. Look, all we need to know is that asset prices are at record highs across every asset class virtually or close to it. And it's not just record high nominal levels, it's also record high valuations. Now, there's a lot of people out there right now. Now, let me just tell you, if you're one of these people, I understand. And I'm not making light of it. I'm not insulting you. But there's a different way to look at valuations. There's all kinds of different ways to look at valuations. But one of the biggest ways that people do it is they look at price to earnings multiples. All right. One thing we have to realize, is that something we look at? Yeah, it's one of the things we consider. But one of the things that we have to look at is price to earnings multiples through GAAP accounting tricks that are legal. Some are questionable, but most are legal. And through stock buybacks, they're very easy to manipulate. So when we want to look at true valuations of markets, we step back and look at adding up all, and we've talked about this on the show before, so it'll be no surprise to many of you listen to it, but we sit there and we want to add up all the prices of those marketable securities in an individual economy, and we want to judge it against the size of said economy. With a simple logic being this, when asset prices in an economy surpass the total size of an economy, the total output of an economy, you got a potential problem on your hands. Now, it's not quite as bad as it was a few months ago because of the pullback we've had here, but we're still at record levels. The only time in history comparable to where we are when we look at, because I believe we're at about 140% right now of total market capitalization to the U.S. economy. And the only time comparable to that is 2000, tech bubble. So, what do we know? We know that as interest rates go up, debt becomes more expensive, financing goods becomes more expensive, credit cards, right? Take more of our income to pay off the interest part of it. Think of homes. Homes are a perfect example. Everybody's like, oh, 5.25% interest rates won't hurt the home market. I remember when rates are 15. Yeah, you're missing the point, pal. Point is that's a 70% increase from the bottom. We were right around 3.25% for 30-year money. Okay, the average consumer out there, disproportionately average consumer out there, doesn't buy a home, they buy a mortgage. If the interest expense on that mortgage goes up 70%, you better believe that's going to impact the price of the house that consumer can afford to purchase. Same with cars. The other thing interesting to think about is we've got peak record profit margins that were previously thought of as inconceivable. Now, I don't think all of them are bad or fake. I do think when this cycle's over, we'll realize that margins weren't as high as we thought, because I think there's a lot of accounting gimmicks, and I think there's a lot of stock buybacks that have looked at made that margin look unrealistically high. The other obvious example of why I don't think that those record high margins are sustainable is, first of all, record high margins are never sustainable. Right? If a company has entered into a business where they're making 50% margins, guess what's going to happen? Bunch of other people are going to get in there and compete against them and drive that cost down. How do they compete? Price. They go, shoot, the business we're currently doing, we've got a 10% profit margin. We get in that business, the profit margins are 50%. We'll take 35. That's 3.5 times more than we're currently making. And then the company that was in there making the 50% margins goes, well, we'll be fine. We'll go down to 30. We call that a price war. It's unavoidable. Now, the other obvious aspect of all this is, does it surprise you that record high profit margins happened during a period of time when we had the lowest interest rates in human history? You don't think those are correlated? And again, to me, when this whole thing started, we said, you know what? The caution needs to go up. Not fear, not in the sense of running and hiding, but the concern. The attention that we're paying for the price that we're paying for assets, right? It needs to increase. We need to be more cognizant of it. And isn't it funny? Here we are. What is it? A year and a half, 2 years into the hiking cycle. And we've had volatility and price drops like we haven't really seen over the course of the last decade. We've seen a couple glitches here and there, but they were pretty short-lived. At the same time, we see oil dropping. We see economic output from China dropping. And the toughest thing about this, guys, again, this is where discipline goes in. This is where you need to have a plan. This is why we say in the industry, and I'm not saying it just because it serves me, there's been studies done on this, massive amounts of studies. And the vast majority of people out there should not manage their own money. It's hard to separate the emotion from it. I suffer from the opposite problem. In my personal accounts, I tend to take more risk. That's worked great sometimes. Other times it's been painful. But what I've typically done now is I just invest right along with the clients because I don't even think about it as my account. I think about the clients' accounts, right? Our partners. But getting back to price, what we've seen here at the end of 2018 and coming into the beginning of 2019, this is more real than what we've experienced over the previous 3 to 5 years. Remember, this isn't an indictment on Trump. I think a lot of what he's done is good. Presidents have far less impact on the economy than we'd like to believe. Now, the Trump situation is a little more exaggerated because you had a guy that was probably the most hostile business president in the history of the country. And then you get a guy in there that's the opposite. And so that is definitely put a shot of life into that. But he can't, no matter what Trump does, he can't undo the 8 years that were done prior. He can't undo the incredibly irresponsible actions that were taken during the last crisis. And we got to pay attention to price. Interest rates are going up. Prices are going to go down, guys. It's just the way it works. Go look at previous Fed hiking cycles. They always hike right into a recession. That's the way it works. And again, recessions aren't this horrible thing that everybody's built them up to be. But they are when you've got a record amount of debt and leverage. And you've gone the second, now closing in on the longest period of time in our country's history without a recession. Was still close to record low interest rates. So we don't have the room to cut rates to stimulate the economy. We got tough times ahead, guys. Just the way it is. And if you're sitting there looking at your portfolio last year going, wait a second, how could stocks and bonds both be down? I thought you said to me, the reason we own bonds is because when stocks go down, bonds go up. Rising interest rates. And if you don't have an answer for that, that didn't happen to our clients. The bond portion of their accounts on average made a little bit this year. Not great, but it made a little bit. And they didn't pay any fees on it. And it was guaranteed against loss. If you don't have that type of planning or that type of risk management in your portfolio, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Don't call us after you've already lost 50%. I mean, we'll help you regardless. But take the steps. Look at the warnings you're getting. Look at the road signs that we're seeing. So again, 866-779-RISK. You can email us. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. Go to the company website at Bulwark Capital Management. Arm yourselves with the truth. Get a different perspective. Anyway, we got to run. Thank you for joining us. Hey, got a big one this weekend. Go Hawks. And keep an eye on these things, guys. My feeling is we'll probably see the rockiness return over the next week, but we'll see. And we'll see where we're at the end of next week, and we'll have a discussion then. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend. Be blessed. We'll talk to you soon. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.